Gas. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. We got Erin Marie Olisette. You got to help me out, Erin. How do you say your name?
It's Olszewski, but everyone gets that wrong. It's okay.
Olszewski. Is that right? Olszewski?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Okay. It's your name. We want to make sure we got it going on. Is Derek up there, Donna? You know, we're recording the show on the Zoom record, and the network is doing kind of whatever. But we want to make sure we'll get this up as the MP3 and the live show kicks in here a little bit, hopefully. Now, this is the one thing. It's the man. It's always the man. Whenever I get one of these, it's a big giant. We have Dr. Judy Mikovits on and say, switch. So obviously,
yeah.
Coming up against they, them, those, but ha, we have the backup of the backup of the backup, because we always anticipate this kind of crap anyway. The one thing that I came across your thing, God, in the spring, beginning of summer, at least a few months ago, that I watched the entire hour, 15 minutes or so, of someone videotaped you at near Times Square there. You had come up from Florida as a nurse. Now let's go back. Before 9/11 happened in 2001, you're a teenager, you go in the Army. You get deployed, you know, eventually you go to the Middle East. You're doing work there, you come back America. You get out and you're a nurse and you're doing the good God American spirit of the right and wrong, and I'm doing the right. You know, you're a young, attractive woman that's got it going on in America, a nurse and in demand. And then all of a sudden, this COVID things happen. You guys are part of the FEMA. And I have a friend that's an EMT that's part of that FEMA teams they have all over the country of where, in case something happens, the volunteers get in and go kick some butt. Well, then you're doing that and you're sitting around watching grass grow. There's really all this threat and, oh my God, and people are dying. You go, I don't know where. I'm not seeing it. Well, it's in Elmhurst up in New York City. So we're going to go up and help them. You go up there and you go, whoa, what the heck is going on here? We'll talk about that a little bit. But, you know, what my biggest thing is, I want to get in for the balance of the show after you give us and fill in the blanks there and what you experienced, is what type of people are we dealing with that we're up against? What's systemically wrong with the system that the fact that you even had to do this? So go ahead and explain to us your experience. How far off am I? I mean, you got to the point to where you're called, they needed help in New York, and here I come. So you get up there, and what happens?
Yeah, no, you explained that really well. You know, we all kind of wondered what was going on in the very beginning. I think, you know, some of us had a bad feeling in our gut about it. Others, you know, were confused. So I guess I'll start in Florida. We saw COVID patients come in, but we, you know, treated them early. Like our treatment in the hospital here in Florida was the hydroxychloroquine and zinc, and we were like 100% successful in treating them. We didn't go right to the ventilator. We didn't do any of that. Like, we didn't have this pandemic here. So all eyes were on New York, really. And, you know, I was laid off. A lot of nurses were looking for different, you know, jobs outside of nursing just to, you know, provide for their families. So I applied and, you know, was accepted to travel over to New York. It was through Crucial Staffing, which is funded through FEMA. And so I'm like, let's do this. You know, I've been through, you know, war. So what could be worse than this? And I ended up getting into New York, and I literally sat around for 3 days straight with nothing to do, getting paid. And so that was kind of my first red flag. You know, if there is such a pandemic, and this was, I'm telling you the time frame, it was mid-April. So, you know, we were still in that, I guess, epicenter pandemic type of, I guess, scare. And I learned that there were nurses that got there before me that were sitting around for 18 days, some up to like 21 days, 3 weeks straight, not doing anything. So when I eventually did get assigned to Elmhurst Hospital, that was considered the epicenter of the epicenter. It was brought up on the news. That was the whole thing with like they were demanding ventilators. And so the president sent the ventilators, but we knew, and they knew in the hospital already that that was the wrong treatment. Every single person in Elmhurst, by the time I got there, that was put on a ventilator, died. Every single person.
Every
in the meantime,
single
the governor,
person.
Every,
okay, this is, you go on yes. the ventilator, death sentence.
Yes, and they knew that. And
why?
You know,
why though? I mean, why? I mean, they go, we're going to put them on a ventilator. They're going to die. We know. We don't care. Because why?
I think there's a few reasons. And, I mean, this is my opinion, and I'm going to leave it up for the listeners to decide what they think. But the governor, Governor Cuomo, you know, banned the use of alternative treatments. He created a liability-free environment, which nobody can get in trouble for. And he asked for 30,000 ventilators in March. However, he didn't even think to find the people to actually run these ventilators. It's a very big deal. It's not something that everybody is trained in. So in my opinion, they needed to save face, and they needed to use these ventilators in order to look good to the, you know, the public. That was what they pushed in the hospitals. Everybody goes on a ventilator, and that's what we do, even
yeah,
though
so
we know it's
killing
everybody.
You know, this is one thing that I saw. You know, Cuomo comes up there, and Trump sends him a bunch of ventilators. Well, you decide how many thousands of people are going to die because they don't have a ventilator of yada, yada, yada. So it was good rhetoric.
Right.
On the TV. They send a hospital mm-hmm. ship. They don't put the people on the ship. They put them and mix them in to make more COVID of – you know, nursing home.
Yes, they did.
I mean, this was, who stays after school for this?
Yeah. I mean, this was genocide in my opinion. Like they knew, and I was only in Elmhurst Hospital. It was like the first week I was there when I was able to figure this out. And I'm like, I don't want to be a part of this. This makes me sick to my stomach. They're treating these people like they're just another number. Remember, $13,000. Per patient to admit a COVID and then $39,000 to put them on a ventilator. It was about money, right? So that's when I contacted an attorney, and that's when we started filming this undercover. I went in with, you know, spy glasses, and I recorded this because it was so absolutely unbelievable that no one would believe it otherwise. And they still don't, even with video.
So there's, you know, things that you warned us that we can't talk about. You know, any court, legal, whatever. Can you tell us, is it something you're doing or something they're doing to you?
No, they've threatened me, but they.
With what?
You know,
you're telling the truth. You're not allowed.
Well, I have the truth, and they don't like it. And at the end of the day, you know, they did wrong, and they know they did wrong, and there wasn't many people in there that did the right thing. And that's what's really disheartening to me.
Disheartening. We're
going
to
like,
break war with Erin Marie Osuski. We'll get it right. She'll practice me when we're in the break. We'll be right back with Erin telling all the inside stuff. We'll be right back. Okay, now we're in 4-minute break, and then we'll come back. Yeah,
okay.
We have a connection problem. We're all good now. But I didn't want to miss anything, so we recorded it on the Zoom, so we've got a full file. Now, what we'll go ahead and do is when we come back, I want to finish the a little bit more on you personally. You know, who's Erin? It's a woman. I don't care, you know. So mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and find out from the beginning. You're in high school. You want to be a what? You're in Merca and, you know, and salute and doing four, and kind of then 9/11 happens, you know, how that affect you while you're in service. You come back, you're a nurse, this. So whenever I come across people such as yourself that are, you know, genuinely have the confidence to just do, somebody's got to do it. I guess I got to do it. Well, the difference.
Right, exactly.
That do it and the ones that don't is what? You know, what grandmother, coach, teacher, employer, parent, you know, uncle, aunt, whatever, that, you know, put this in you that is so rare now? And I'm wondering, and it's, I wouldn't say it's rare, but it sure as hell is not promoted. You know, you have to like be, oh my God, up against the empire of lies. And then, you know, telling truth is treason, you know? So this is where you're at. Did you anticipate? Don't answer now. You get all your, I got to get you all built up here. Yeah. So when you come back, man, you can just, you know, unload on us. But I want to, what you think makes you different, how other many other people are like you, and where are you being heard, and how and why are they censoring you? So this is, it's whenever I do this, I have to have alternative means of communication, different hotspots, different yeah. cells, different things. If they know I'm doing it and I have like Judy R or certain big, boom, they just dial it down and I'm going, yeah, we're on it now. Woo-hoo! You know, so it's definitely a thing. And did you anticipate that before? Did you anticipate they were going to, and what have they done? And have they gone after your license? Have they gone after your ability to be employed? Have they gone after, are you like, screw them, I'm on the road and telling people or whatever? Because your video uh-huh. was very, not only informative and inspiring, but for anyone that hasn't experienced and expect this from them, because they can, you know, it could be depressing. I'm sure a lot of people were, either they didn't want to believe you or it had a traumatic effect on them by even watching it. And then I want to hear about yeah. your friends and family and how they were impacted by it. And did they believe it? Did they tell mm-hmm. you to shut up or don't do this or yada, 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 yada. You see where I'm going?
Yes, I do.
You know, this is what I'm, what this is a study of. We've had way more in our dose of scumbags. But what I'm looking at
yeah.
is that, you know, it's like scumbags in charge on steroids with yeah. more money, you know,
yep.
and something's got to happen. Something's going to break. And it's people like you that do it. So I'm glad we got hold of each other. I'm sure we tried to reach out before, but you know, Dr. Judy hooked us up. Yeah. We've been interviewing Judy yeah. for God, 4.5 years. God, it's been, cause I, knew
yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. I just,
she was kind of my inspiration. Like
for a lot of people,
I can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, she's going, no. I tell you, the hero, it's her husband. You know,
he's yeah.
like, yeah, whatever, yeah. go for it, baby. You know, so I always give props.
Yeah.
You know? All right, here we're coming back. Hold yeah. on, be about 10 seconds in. And we're back with Erin Marie. Say your last name, Erin. I want everybody to get it right.
Okay, it's Olszewski.
Olszewski. All right, got it taken care of. Now, this is the one thing that what the big concern for me is not that you did it and that you challenged them, you whistle blew and you took it under, you went all Veritas on them or whatever. But, you know, my big thing is that there's so few like you. And I would think that that would be of a concern to you too. You're in this ocean of scum. I mean, you know, did you feel that way? Is there anybody else that was challenging them like you were?
Yeah. You know what? There were a few that questioned what was going on, and the same thing, like I was fired for questioning that. And there were people ahead of me that were fired as well. There are a lot of really, really good medical professionals, nurses, doctors in, you know, the healthcare industry. But the problem lies in what happens when you say something. And that's when you're, you know, completely, you know, they try to discredit you and they fire you and they threaten you and, you know, they gaslight you and make you seem like, you know, you're out of your mind. And that is the problem, that there's no autonomy anymore. Either you follow the dogma and the stigma of, you know, this, I don't know what it is at this point. It's it's a huge, huge industry funded by a lot of money. And, you know, the people in our industry feel that they don't have a voice, but that's not true. We do have a voice, and it's just about being, I guess, brave enough to buck the system and say no, because what is going to happen if we didn't say anything? It's going to get worse and worse, and our children are going to have to pay the price when we're no longer here to fight for them.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing, is protecting, you know, our future generations from this, you know, tyranny that's really enwrapping itself around our healthcare industry and terrorizing people and not giving them the whole truth. And it's costing life.
It really is. Right off the bat, when they had like $30,000+ incentive to put them on ventilator, I'm going, gee, I wonder what's going to happen, you know? So it was just a money thing and sacrificing lives to do it. Now, when you talk about, yeah, for our children, we got to go. Do you have children, or are you?
Yeah, three boys.
Whoa.
Three young boys.
So I'm, yeah. Well, see, there's incentive. So my question to you is, what made you this way? You know, was it aunt, uncle, parent, grandparent, boss, teacher, coach? What? You know, did this, you learned this responsibility and doing the right thing came from where? Not from the profession or government or anything. I mean, you know, where did it come from?
My family and my upbringing, you know, I'm from a very small Wisconsin Midwestern town, and I've always kind of been, you know, the rebel of the family, but I've always been, you know, taught to do the right thing and to treat others with kindness and, you know, never be afraid to speak up. And I guess, you know, and I didn't have the easiest upbringing either. So I think a lot of us that are fighting this maybe had to fight a lot of times throughout their childhood too. And that just kind of builds us and makes us stronger. And I mean, I love my country, you know, like I really, truly love my country. And, you know, I went into the military. I had a full ride, and I set it aside because I wanted to serve. And when I did that, this was in, you know, 2001, I got in January, 2001. And during basic training in the Army, that's what September 11th happened. So obviously I was deployed to Iraq, and that's when I first started realizing that government actually doesn't really care about us, because they sent us to war with no armor, no body armor, not enough ammo. Our Humvees were not armored. I mean, we were just sent out there as sitting ducks. You know, and I was only 18, and I'm thinking, you know what? We're disposable to the government at this point. And I was just young, so I kind of always kept that with me. And, you know, throughout my military career, we were just another number. And that's why I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I want to go help people. So I'm entering the nursing profession, and I'm seeing the same type of corruption. And, you know, I guess it's just not in me to sit back and not say anything. You know, nurses are mandatory reporters. We're patient advocates. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And they don't like it. You know, the industry doesn't like the truth. And that's a big problem.
Well, what is the truth? I mean, you know, this is, you know, we cover the healthcare industry quite a bit, and we have, you know, doctors on and, you know, and on and on and on. And we saw that we were having an opportunity to go naturopaths. We just, screw you guys, you know, I'll lick a frog and suck on a rock and I'll have, you know, this over, all of a sudden I'm cured. You know, we'll do some alternative, whatever the heck. And then that started to get enough credibility that now they want to pull them all into the medical board. We control you too, you know, and
right.
It's like you're not allowed to do with your own body. You're not allowed to experiment. You're not allowed, hell, to even die. I mean, you know, you're not allowed. And I'm going, to what end? And then you see that they were in, it seems, I will get your opinion, but it seems like they were intentionally killing off people in nursing homes.
Yeah, there's really no other rhyme or reason why you would ever stick, you know, COVID positive elderly patients and put them back into, you know, the nursing homes, knowing there's immunocompromised people in there. I mean, it literally, there's really no other explanation for it. And sadly, I think you're right. I do think that they intentionally, you know, killed these people to get those numbers up.
Well, it's also, we did the math on it.
No other rhyme or reason.
But we did the math on it, how much it cost, you know, taxpayers, the governments to maintain somebody in a nursing home. And you get like 30,000 people multiplied time. We're talking gazillions of dollars here. You know, were they trying to, you know, it's a money saving thing too, or they got extra because, I mean, this is, it's nefarious every direction that you look at this. And when you see the evidence that you exposed on how they were doing it, is anybody going to be held responsible?
I think so. I have great confidence that there'll be people, specifically, you know, governors and the administration of these hospitals who ultimately pushed for the decisions to be made for the patients, you know, that I guess took care of, that all died. But it really comes down to order followers. You know, the governor gave the orders to the administration of the hospitals. The administration of the hospitals gave the orders to the doctors. So why, and my question is this, is why didn't those doctors question those orders, knowing that they were ethically, morally, and, you know, wrong? Because they just became order followers. And that's happening not just in the healthcare industry, but all over. You know, people just follow the orders. Look at the mask.
Orders,
people,
all the way to the showers. We'll be right back with Erin Marie Wojcicki. I'll get it. When we come back in just a little bit, you're going to learnify us some more. And what's the future? Is there a cure? We'll be right back. Yeah, as you get into the movement and you're going around speaking engagements and everything, and you see the presentations of a lot of other people that, you know, I've seen this coming. We've been talking about this for, God, years even before it happened. We knew that this, you know, the RNA changing people express genes of, because we can, nucleus of make you sick, you know, because we need to make us some money. You know, they're not just waiting to misdiagnose and get you on a ventilator. Hell, they need you to be actively got some problems and kind of, we going to get some. So this is why my children, we stopped vaccinating them in their early 90s, and our grandchildren haven't been vaccinated, and they're the smartest, healthiest kids around. So I'm going, there has got to be enough anecdotal evidence to get to the point where people are going, nah, I don't think I believe what they're saying. But my wife and I, we go to the store. We at Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, you know, the parts store, that we are the only ones, or maybe one other person, that's not wearing a mask. And this virtue signal of I'm comply, a lot of people, they don't like it. They think it's BS. They just don't want, they just want to go along, get along. It's not that big a deal. I wear a mask. And I'm going, there was a meme that came out that said, if you wondered how you would have reacted in Nazi Germany, now you know.
I actually have a vaccine injured son. I've been in the medical freedom fight for a few years now. I've spoken openly about it while employed as a nurse.
How old is your son and how damaged?
Well, he was 12 months and now he's going to be 8 years old in November. So I did vaccinate, you know, I am one of those people that, I did do that, but it was a very, very, very hard time. And I was very angry as a nurse because I felt like they robbed me of my career. I'm like, I want my money back. You guys lied. They lie about so much stuff. And that's why a lot of these doctors and nurses aren't questioning it, because they've been so brainwashed into believing everything that they've been taught. And
well, how damaged is
that
your son?
For.
Is he recovered or is he permanent?
He stopped talking, walking, like all the eye contact. He had like many seizures. But at 4.5 years old, he started saying his first words again. And now he's great. I mean, he's not 100%, but he's functioning and he's in, you know, he's really smart. He's playing sports and that, but it was a lot of time, money, and I don't know, you know.
Stress. Well, you're learning about diet and different things, and you talk, you know, these presentations to other doctors, and this is something they've been dealing with. Like James Lyons Weiler, we have him on. We do a thing called the Vaccine Education Summit. We have Freedom Summits that we do every year.
Yeah.
And we did the Vaccine Education Summit in 16. I talked to Dr. Judy, and within 10 days, we had a summit. I just said, I need to resort again, push the button, make it go where. When's the first Saturday at? Oh, 10 days from now? Fine. Do it. Boom. Then we had Suzanne Humphreys, and we had a whole slew of people that had never met each other before, because this was not a thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we did it last September, and of course, you know, Del Bigtree and, you know, Judy and a bunch of others. And it was because my confidence, I just knew this was coming. This is just so neon flashing obvious, because the incentives were so jacked up.
Yep.
You know? All right, we're coming back.
And it's liability free.
Yeah.
That, nothing good comes out of a liability free environment.
Okay, we're coming back right now. Hold on, here we go. Intro starts now. With Erin Marie, and she gets to say her last name. Go.
Olszewski.
Okay. Yeah, some consonants aren't pronounced and everything. I have to make sure they get their name right. Now, we know her as the nurse that was in the Army. She gets out. She's in Florida as a nurse. They're getting all prepped for COVID, whatever, with nothing to do. They need nurses in New York, the epicenter of we're all going to die. Boom. She goes up there and finds, let me tell you why. Because you guys are stupid. You guys are corrupt. You guys are just killing people. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
She's a mom with three young sons, one that was vaccine damaged and kind of recovering, you know, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, all of a sudden he's starting to come back. So she's went through this disillusionment of they lied to me. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, so as we were talking during the break, you know, I kind of explained. So at 12 months old, like our middle son, you know, was injured by a vaccine. And I got all my vaccines, you know, and I vaccinated my children up to that. And that's what I was taught in school. That's what you do. This is what's right. And so I did. And then I woke up, because I'm like, I know for a fact it was this vaccine. And I was gaslighted. You know, the pediatrician said I was crazy. Everybody said I was crazy. You know, my nursing colleagues thought I was crazy. But I started researching anyway, and what I found was absolutely, it was disheartening to know that I was really lied to in school. There is no liability if something happens to our children, and it kind of goes without saying that there was no liability in these hospitals around the country during this COVID, and nothing good comes out of, you know, a liability-free environment. This is when the bad guys start taking advantage of people. And if they can't get in trouble for it, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And that's what happened with vaccines. You know, they shot up to 72, you know, vaccines by the time our children are 18. And there's more in the pipeline. And this is what they're doing with this COVID. You know, sure, they're pushing masks, but the next thing that they're going to do is this push a COVID vaccine. And that too is liability free to the manufacturers. So what is the end goal for them? You know, what are they doing, and why aren't they telling the people the truth? Specifically, why aren't they teaching doctors, nurses, and medical professionals about the truth while they're in school? It's because they don't want them to know about it. And that's, you know, terrifying. And that should be terrifying for the public.
Yeah, this is where it really, you know, kind of in my face. One of my best friends, his daughter was about 19, 20, and she was studying to be a maternity nurse because her aunt, my friend's sister, was a maternity nurse, and she goes, I don't want to do that. It was right when Vaxxed the Bus and the movie came out, and they had the motorhome, the Vaxxed motorhome came, and I was there, and it was right down the street from them. Well, I just stopped by and say, yo, what's up? And, you know, my friends, and she was there. And the next week she was getting married and we'd be at her wedding and all that. She's doing dressing with her bridesmaid, and you don't want to get into a big giant discussion or whatever. And I said, yeah, I was just up here and I had some, you know, pamphlets and different stuff on the vaccine. Oh, they're showing, telling us at the school, you guys are all crazy, crazy people are crazy, and this is what they're telling you, crazy. And I'm going, right. I go, when has Uncle Ernie ever been wrong, okay? I just, I've known you your entire life, but you don't want to get into it. She's getting married, whatever. So then time goes on, and we had her parents over for dinner, and I said, you know, I talked to her about all this stuff was coming out, you know, by this last spring. And I'm just going, look, you know, this is what they're teaching them. This is what, now you have the naturopathic schools. They come in and say, you want accreditation? You want to be part of the medical board of whatever in Arizona? Guess what? All your students and faculty have to get updated on their vaccines. And this is a naturopath. Yep. So I'm going, their tentacles are everywhere. And it's like they're desperate to get it out now because I think they know they're getting found out.
Well, and some people will crumble and you know, put away their you know, ethical stance on this when it comes down to the dollar. And it's sad. Like, people are getting, you know, paid and bought out to, I guess, I don't know. It's just really sad that.
Well, you see, this money is normal for you to go, yeah, these guys are, they're corrupt. I'm going, yeah, well, welcome to freaking American politics. I mean, you know, this is stuff I'm an old libertarian from, you know, 30 years, been doing activism 30. This is, it goes in waves like this. And that's why they call it revolution. Yeah. And what happens, it's general public opinion, which is why everything that they do is to scare you into submission. And what happens when you start getting knowledge and you understand, which is what the big part of what you're doing. And what kind of response have you gotten from the healthcare industry, other nurses and doctors, if they, you know, saying you're crazy, or some of them coming up going, yeah, it's about time and somebody on with you?
Well, here's the irony is when I was in New York, I recorded essentially pretty much every single day until they kicked me out. So a lot of my colleagues, we all agreed. We talked about it on the bus, on the way to the hospital. We talked about it on the way back. We talked about it at the hospital. And I mean, I have this all recorded. And so when it came down to it, when I exposed everything, they didn't like it. Because look what the media was doing. They called all the nurses, you know, heroes, frontliners, you know, all this over and over and over and over. So if you questioned that hero status, a lot of them were very offended. But they also,
that's how they got you guys all in line.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even when I was in Iraq, they did the same thing when we were overseas. They're heroes, applaud them. And I never agreed with what I was doing over there. I felt like we were there. We weren't there for weapons of mass destruction. We weren't there for, you know, we were there for money, power, and greed per our government. Like, I mean, we can talk about that in, you know, for hours, but it came down to the same exact thing that we're doing here in the healthcare industry, money, power, greed. You know, it's the root of all evil. And so when, you know, the media is part of that, they're part of this problem is that they push out this agenda that everybody, you know, should be applauding these healthcare heroes. When inside these hospitals, it's the complete opposite. There is nothing heroic about what anybody was doing at all. And
you know, that's one thing I want. Why are you coming to this realization now? Do you see that there's a much larger corruption of every single point of the compass of they, them, those, won't leave me alone kind of? I mean, have you come to that conclusion that it's a corrupt country of, I mean, where are you at now? Oh, we just need to fix this liability thing and healthcare will be fixed? Or, you know, how much wider is your radar screen?
You know, I've always questioned it. And I've never, I guess, spoken as loud as I'm speaking now, you know. But we need a total revamp. And we need especially a special emphasis on ethics. And we can't be having, you know, politicians getting involved between the doctor-patient relationship. The pharmaceuticals need, you know, companies need to stay out of it. You know, there's so much money being exchanged. And I don't think, like, the average citizen, you know, in the United States and throughout the world even realizes the amount of politics and money that goes into their personal healthcare, you know, and that either needs to be extremely transparent, but in my opinion, it needs to go away. You know, the doctor-patient relationship should be left to the doctor and patient, not outside influencer.
Well, this is, you know, what would it look like? Just there is no, you know, the government be gone. I mean, the money. See, I freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? You got a problem? I go, sounds to me like you need more freedom. I want Doogie Howser doing brain surgery on me for chickens if I want to. I mean, you know, now
yeah.
You know, and they're going, nope, we got to have licenses and do this. Well, I'm going to go alternative. They go alternative and they go, yeah, not so much. We need to, you know, regulate supplements. I mean, more with Aaron. When we come back, just a little bit, you guys stay right there. Okay, break 4 minutes. Okay, now we got one more segment. What do you want to make sure you get out? Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I don't know. I think because I talk about the problem a lot, but like we never really touch on like a solution, like what people can do.
Solutions. Well, that's kind of what we're getting
so,
into.
So I guess being brave and, you know, getting more involved and, you know, I guess what we always talk about, you know, but I just feel like people don't know what to do or where to start, or they feel like they're not enough, you know, and that's not true. And there's a lot of people that, you know, would welcome them with open arms. If they want to step outside that comfort zone.
Well, I mean, you know, this is, okay, I'll give you an example. What we're doing traveling around the country is I'm avoiding the larger cities and going to smaller towns. Like I'm in Bangor now, which is probably one of the biggest cities up here. But it's only, you know, 50,000 or something like that. But the small towns of Henrico, New Hampshire, and small towns of Vergennes, Vermont, and small towns of, I can't remember the town in, you know, Concourse or whatever, Michigan. And as we're going around teaching people how to make signs and express themselves and be buttheads and so on, what we're finding is that these smaller communities, they have a tight community of, I don't know, 50, 100 families and so on, and they're taking care of business. This guy's got the hogs, and this guy's got the cows, and these guys got the, you know, diesel equipment of I know how to fix and the mechanic of whatever the hell. Well, then you go, right. It's just like, you know, the West, they got the school teacher in a little house and put her up and the doctor. And I can see that what you really need is just healthy food. You know, you live in a clean air environment kind of thing. The only time you need a doctor is when the thresher ripped your wrist off or something. I mean, you know, so I always kind of wondered, you know, how the hell did humanity freaking survive? Holy crap, you know, and come to find out it was our immune system until they started jacking with it. So it seems like
it's
on purpose, and we would be much healthier by just bypassing a lot of this crap and have the freedom to do so. And then you have the information about, I'm amazed at how much apple cider vinegar is curing just about 80% of everything. You know, I'm going this and this and this and this. I'm going, holy crap. Of course they don't want you to know this stuff. And oh, by the way, eat some of this GMO and have this shot and get a vaccine, or we're going to go out of business. So this is the pharmaceutical companies are just socio-psychopath of the no whip. They don't care. They're just, you know, give me some money. So this is, once we realize that and bypass it, our future is abundance and could be great because our healthcare bill is so much. And I'm like, why? So we can talk about that, the future. And what you're advocating in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Let's see. When she's running for Congress. Oh, yeah. I didn't see it coming. All right. So we'll talk about that. We'll be right back in 15, 20 seconds. Here we go.
Okay.
10 seconds. Oh, but there's a future. Future. What's the future going to be? Now, somebody's got to stay after school. Somebody's got to be held accountable. You guys are crazy. That's not how it is. Truth. Oh, okay. What happens when you find out they're lying? What happens when you find out the lies killed people? Then what? Who's held responsible? What happens then? And then what's the solutions? We got to get into some solutions. But the first question I have, you know, being an attractive, professional, upstanding, willing to go kind of man, that's congressional material right there. You know, somebody tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you got to run for something. Is that happening?
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually happening. And I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to it at all.
Have you been of service? You've been serving? And these guys suck so much that, damn, seriously? All I got to do is be better than that? Well, hell, my parakeet's better than that. You know, so, all right. So that'll be in the future. Is that would be next election cycle? Are you waiting to see if, you know, if Trump, you know, wins or what?
I don't really think it matters. I shouldn't say I don't think it matters who wins. Either way, we need more people who believe in actual freedom and transparency and the truth to run and get involved, because what's happening is the liars are taking over, and the unethical, I don't even know what to call them at this point, but the people who don't value, you know, America and freedom and transparency and compassion for the human being and children should be casted out, and good people should definitely be taking their spots and be brave enough to just stand up and say no and actually get involved and change things, because we do need that. We really desperately need a lot more strong, powerful voices in this corrupt system to make it right again.
Well, for what? I mean, let's talk about solutions. You know, the solution is, you know, see, I'm not affected because I just ignore them. You know, I don't put on masks. The only time I've ever had to wear a mask was one leg of a Southwest Airlines after they made a bunch of Karens taking pictures of me and what my wife not having masks. It's been relatively going to Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, you just don't wear them. Just walk, ma'am, do you have a mask? Yes, I do. And she just keeps walking. So, you know, it, without it. And if you just press back just a little bit, you'll see just how much. It's really not a big deal. They just fear. So when you say solutions, what are you talking about? You know, you mean what?
Well, a few things. One is, like, a lot of people are like, well, I'm just one person. What can I do? I'm like, one person can make a really, really, really big ripple, you know, and that ripple gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it shows others that, you know, they too can be brave and that they're not alone. Because I think what's happening, especially with this mask thing, is, you know, people are complying because maybe they don't understand what their rights, which is sad. You know, they don't teach that in school anymore either, but they don't understand their rights, and they don't know that, you know, they can say no, and they don't feel brave enough to stand up. But it takes time. You know, it's important that they know that they're not alone. And there's a lot of us out there, and especially now with this COVID, this disaster, you know, I think it has a lot more people questioning why the government is so pushy and why they're so involved and why they're ignoring doctors and nurses that are speaking up and telling them that they're wrong and only pushing the agenda of the doctors and nurses who say that everything they're doing is right, you know, and anybody that
the government, they go to me and they say they, you know, when I first started doing radio in 03, they, you conspiracy, they who, and that was a good question. I go, you know, let me tell you who they, them, those are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. They won't leave me alone. That's how I know who they are. They won't leave me alone.
Yep.
They're trying to put me in a herd of make me and kind of, and they get the money. So I'm just going, so when you say they, you know, is it a mindset? Is it a group? Is it a what?
It's all the above. You know, yes, I think that there's groups of people who have been, you know, brainwashed for many, many years. And then there's those that know that everything is, you know, wrong and it's not, you know, ethical or moral, but they don't care because they have incentive not to care. And that incentive comes in job promotion, money, power, greed, and it always goes back to, you know, the corrupt governments, corrupt pharmaceutical companies, you know, that. I mean, it's the people who put their hands up and say no more and buck the system and put them on the spot and question them. Because at the end of the day, the people elect these officials and they work for us. And if they're not going to give us answers, then we're just going to have to start saying no and vote them out and run ourselves, you know, like get involved and stop the tyranny that they think that they have this so much power over the people, but the people really have the power and a lot of them don't know that.
I think it's, I've been focusing on general public opinion. Everything else is a side effect. Voting, where you spend your money, how you raise your kids, what vaccines you take or don't. I mean, you know, it's just general public opinion. Because I've run for Congress 3 times. I ran for U.S. Senate against John McCain as a libertarian. I've been a libertarian activist for a long time. I've run for Secretary of State 2 times. Election law is my big thing. I've been to Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, my own attorney, oral argument, checked off a bunch of boxes. Have you run for office? Did you talk to your legislator? Did you write your congressman? Did you, you know, file suit? Did you got to check off a bunch of boxes a bunch of times? Bunch of times. And I'm telling you, everything that I've ever done has way more impact by doing what you do, by standing up, coming out, and just informing people. That has been the biggest impact, but they always needed a government number, you know, like an arrest number or a filing number, a number. And that gives the media permission to go out and start the gaslighting. And the people use that phrase a lot. Means is that they just want to go, really? Do you really think that? You know, that's not really right. You know, that, no, nobody turned up the gaslight up or down. It's just your imagination. They try and get you to doubt yourself, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. When you have the knowledge and you know, and you had a vaccine-damaged child, you saw it happen, you know they're full of crap, you go through the respirator thing, you see this, it just has to bolster up your, you know, man, I don't think I know, and then the industry does what to you? You know, do you have support from other, I mean, there are doctors and nurses that are wanting to help? Do they start inspired by you to be open, or are you still waiting for that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's definitely a lot more nurses and doctors that have spoken out because of this. And here's a really big thing right now. I think that this whole thing sparked a light bulb in all of the nurses across the United States, because now all of these hospitals are trying to mandate the flu vaccine for nurses. And I have never seen more autoimmune issues than I do in nursing in the hospitals, because you know, they say to keep your job, you're required to get a flu vaccine. I have never gotten one. You know, I use an exemption and I tell them no. They force you to wear a mask and that's just a form of coercion, but I do it because I love my job. But now nurses are learning more about the vaccine and they don't want it to be mandated. So it is kind of, it did light a fire, and there's more and more nurses now that are coming out and saying no against that. And especially, you know, this COVID vaccine, where the CDC recently said that they want to first give it to healthcare professionals. So they're technically the experiments in this, and that's terrifying.
Support first responders who say no to mandatory shots. Because if they're police and the fire and EMTs and doctors and nurses have to do it, they're going to make sure you do it. So you got to support them first. You're going to say, no, hell no, hell yeah. no. We already went through this, and it was very effective, and we're doing it again now. This has been awesome. Hold on. I want to talk to you a little bit and kind of off the air. But, you know, Erin Marie Olszewski, close enough. She's out there fighting the fight, and we're going to be hearing more about her, I am certain. And when the time comes, you know, she's already proved herself a lifetime of service and not taking the BS and personally invested in this with family. And I'm going, you know what? Couple of dollars go out there and give them what for. I'm in. We'll have her back and promoting that very action, running for Congress, I think, maybe.
Oh, boy.
yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. You better start your thing now. I mean, you know, just get it done. Okay. Yeah, the exploratory of giving you money, you know. All right, this is the one thing.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
This one thing I wanted you to do. You had a computer, I'm sure.
I'm not, but I can be.
Yeah, go to a computer. I want you to see second. I need your help on something. You know, come up with an idea from your perspective before I let you go.
Okay.
Go to the browser and just put lovebuslibertytour.com.
I'm looking now. It's taking a while to load. I don't know why. Maybe they don't want me to look at it.
It is a... I'm at my IT guys.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
Right
Good.
Now.
I see it. Beautiful.
Now we're working on it. Okay. Now, the top story, Love Bus Liberty Tour pictures added in. See, we have a big MCI bus. It's called the Love Bus, you know, and we're pulling a little Jeep Liberty and we're going around the country and so on. Go ahead and click on one of those top two stories and you have pictures. The reason is what we're doing is like we did with the Ron Paul Levolution and everything, was teaching people how to, you know, make pictures, they can do whatever they want. And we're going around the country, seeding them, and they're just starting to make a bunch of pictures. Now, what we, you know, and you can cut it out, you know, by taking a stencil version of whatever you want, and you project it on a wall, and you have this waterproof wallboard stuff you cut with a knife, and we have laser cut. You'll see some of those templates. We're up here, we got 100-watt laser, and we just cut out whatever we want. And then, you know, we just start making a bunch of signs. The big thing that we're doing is let me see your smile, or masks make me feel alone or sad or, you know, abused or whatever the heck. They're, you know, making a bunch of different ones. But let me see your smile. That is one of the main things. And Liberty wears no mask and blah, blah, blah. We're doing a bunch now for Ireland. Ireland, because I'm like, the Irish were supposed to be kind of man up and kind of, you know, kiss my butt and tell the empire to suck it. You know, oh, and you'll see the support first responders one that we have there.
Yeah. I, I'm actually in contact with quite a few activists in Ireland, and they, I mean, they're starting to, I guess, create their own type of, you know.
Yeah, no, I got, we got crews there. We're ready to go. Hook us up. You know, just give me the information for them and we'll hook these guys up and then they go out and be somebody. You know, we're on it.
Yeah.
We're not waiting on anybody. But the, what would be, we have two different versions that we could do. The 18 by 24 is kind of the yard campaign thing. We do a bunch of those. And then we have over 450 linear yards of this plastic material. They're made like the plastic sandbags or woven material. You can zip tie it to a fence and it will not rip. I mean, this stuff is awesome.
Right.
And we have, you know, hundreds of yards of this that are 61 inches wide to make these big signs. Now, what would be a suggestion? What mindset you want to have? Who would you address a sign to? What slogan would you want? Because that's what we're doing, like starting tomorrow, as we're starting to produce. I'll make an Erin sign, man. What do you want?
Oh, gosh. Let me think on that. That's a
Yeah. Send me an email. You know, think about, you can see what, we can do anything. We just did these kind of to seed to get it going, you know. And, you know, we just, that's my wife, Donna, with dark hair. You may see her. And we mass produce a crap load of these. And we put them on the bus and every rest stop on the highway, you know, going through a small town in front of police, fire, hospitals, what I mean, they've kind of got different ones for different things and promote the tour and so on, but they're powerful. You know, it's, if you haven't, if you've been out and nobody's supporting what you're kind of, and you do, I tell you, there was one, if you look into the first one at the top of Liberty Bus, here, you go to the one on the top right there. Let me see if it's in there.
Okay.
We went to a, in Michigan, we went to Upper Michigan to do a, because I wanted Upper Michigan, it never gets any love. So we bring the love bus, they get some love, okay? So we go up there and do that. We come down, the activists that were there helping, we go down in the lower Michigan near Detroit, and we set up in the guy's garage to start making a bunch of the signs. Yeah, let's see, let's go down to the bottom of that one. As we were setting that up, we go, okay, we'll be back tomorrow. And we leave on the first corner, like 300 yards away, were two 20-year-old kids that had signs, COVID-19's a hoax, take off your mask, Michigan, blah, blah, blah. They were there 20 minutes before we stopped by. People were pulling over, thanking them. I mean, some people yell, whatever. But they thought it was going to be like 80% against them. It was 80% in support. They were like, yeah, woohoo. And then
that's
we talked
awesome.
To them.
Yeah.
And they came over the next day to help us make a bunch of signs. Now we got two locations there. So
that's
it's
so great. See, people are not, people want change. They just don't know what to do. So you're a catalyst.
Yeah, no, and I knew this. You know, this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the revolution thing started. That's how we got funding for the Love Bus. When in October, when the Federal Reserve started, like, you know, buying up everything, you know, that's not supposed to, I'm like, yeah, they got a third of the mortgages now. I mean, when this all crashes, they're just going to, and it's ours. I mean, you know, that's what's going to happen. So I'm going, this is, we got to get on the road. We got to want to get people ready. You know, it's energy. We're big on solar. We made the bus autonomous communication. We got, you know, a bunch of solar panels, 400 amps of lithium iron phosphate battery, blah, 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 blah. So we're showing that you can be autonomous. We're going to these small communities that are taking care of themselves. But then what we did is we're going, look, you got to be able to express yourself and that, you know, and rally people around. And it's going to happen. We've known this before. Watch. And then it does. We go out and we start and then all of a sudden it explodes. And it was like a year before people knew that I did the Levolution logo. It wasn't pertinent. I didn't care. You know, the it doesn't belong to anybody, you know, and then Reason magazine outed me. But, you know, on this, it's not like a secret, but I don't make a big deal out of it. We have the Love Bus Liberty Tour on there some. But when you scroll down, you can see what we did. We had these thin plywood that was just extra from some shipping thing of a friend gave it to a friend. We have all these to cut these templates out of. But we can make them bigger and they puzzle together in, you know, 3, 4, 5 at a time, 6. I mean, we can make as big a sign as we want with this length. I mean, we put it across the big giant overpass, which is what we've done before. Now, what we did before is we projected it up, traced it out, and then cut it out. Well, now we just have a laser, 100-watt laser just cuts it out. We put it together. Woohoo, man, we kicking butt now.
No taking that down.
You know, this is, so
that's
I'm just,
great.
You know, if you look at, you scroll down there, you'll see how we're doing it and the big roles that we have.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great.
So you come up with anything. And then just a napkin sketch of what logo you might, or how, you know, who we're talking to, or what would be, you know, Cadaceous or something. I mean, I don't know, you know. So it's, we can do this, and we're starting like in 2 days to mass produce and go into Ireland. So if tonight, if you talk to your people there, what phraseology do they want? You know, a quiet man, quiet no more. I mean, you know what? I got to get John Wayne involved. I mean, what do we do?
Yeah. Yeah. No, let me, I'll brainstorm a couple slogans, but that's a great idea.
Send them these links to these two, pick, kind of get them inspired. Cause you can see on the trailer, we have white, blue, and yellow. We we're using mostly the white, but we got creative on the other stuff. Then you'll see we have the PDFs here. You can just download the PDF and you can make your own, do it yourself. See, that's what we do. We don't like we're going to make it. We're just showing them how to do it. You know, this is how to do it. This, you know, but we'll sponsor, you know, and kind of spark it in Ireland. You got some chance. I'll send it in your name of your design of something. And that will get them all worked up, and they love you a long time. You feel me?
Yeah. Did you question? This is off topic. Did you have like about a year ago something in Phoenix? Like, did you have speakers in that? Was it? It had to been like just about a year ago.
Yeah, it was Vaccine Education Summit. Yeah, Vaccine Education.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, do another search. Go vaccineeducationsummit.com.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, I remember watching this. Because you had Dr. Judy, I think, was RFK there? Or was it Dell? I think for sure it was Dell. Yeah. But yeah, I remember watching that. I was in Scottsdale for a little bit of time while I was in the military.
Yeah, no, I, you know, boom. We just, you know, push the button and do, because we do these different, you know, freedom summits since 2001. We were like 3 weeks after 9/11. You know, we had that. We're like,
But
if you go to vaccineeducationsummit.com, then you'll see, you know, all the speakers that we've had
there. Yeah, that's great. I'll see what I can come up with for you.
Please.
Thank you so much for having me today. It was really nice talking to you.
Yeah, no, you too. This is going to be a long-term battle, and people like you and I want to help and rock and roll, and this is what I do. See, my thing is that it always comes down to the street. It always comes down to general public opinion. It always comes down to what you see. So what do? They censor the internet. They curtail free speech. They go after anybody like you that's actually done anything. And they do everything they can to fear uncertainty and doubt. So when I know how this works. I've been a street political activist for a long time. When I got a freaking overpass sign and they take it down, you put it up again and again and again and again and again. And then we're not going away. Then what? And it's a place for them to go. And oh my God, they got QR codes now. Crap, I just scan something on a little sticker on the gas pump that says silly slave, taxes are for slaves. I mean, you know, whatever. They can't shut me up.
Yep.
Hey, well, thanks for coming on.
I mean, and we're coming at them from all angles at this point, so.
Yeah, no, and that was always going to happen. See, one thing I knew they were going to censor, a few years ago, we started doing a thing called, it was a protocol for some privacy blockchain, whatever the hell, and it's called interplanetary file sharing. And what it is nodes that we put, like James Corbett, they were starting to censor all his stuff. And we go, nope, done. So all of our PiratesWithoutBorders.com. If you go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com, that's our decentralization of everything, including healthcare kind of deal, letters from Dr. Idris Barber. And so it's a fictional characters that we, you know, the pirates, it's a long story, but PiratesWithoutBorders.com, you'll get a lot out of the letters there. But the main thing that we did is we took all that data, all those videos, all those documentaries, and we put them on this protocol that's nodes, hundreds of thousands all over the world. They can't censor it. They can't take it down. So this show that we do now goes up on this IPFS thing. They can strike it everywhere else except that. And we've been working on that for 3 years because I knew that's what was coming. So when Plandemic came out, they were, you know, because a lot of people that fund us and so on funded Plandemic too. So, you know, we're all kind of friends and work together on this stuff. Well, what happened? Well, they censored it. And I go, not on IPFS. And that was the seeding for it keep popping up everywhere, that file, so that they couldn't censor it. They couldn't get it done. Well, what happens? 1 billion downloads. Billion with a B. And I'm going,
wow. Wow. Dang. That's crazy.
Because we know what's coming. They have to do this because of people like you. They're setting this whole up, the censored thing and everything is because of Aaron's. And I'm here to make sure errands are not silenced. That's what I do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's people like you that honestly keep me going. And
no, you got a lot of support. Oh, yeah, next congresswoman up. I can feel it. It's all good. It's all good. Oh, good. Of course, we're going to find out how many raves you went to in high school, and I don't really care. But, you know.
It's how many what?
Raves. I mean, whatever. You partying.
Oh, no, I didn't. I was not. I was never a partier ever in my life. Never. I just, I always tried to stay out of that trouble. I actually wrote a book. I don't know if you know that. It's out. It's called The Undercover Epicenter Nurse.
Yeah, no, I see it. Undercover Epicenter Nurse reveals how growth is brought by published book.
Yeah.
Aaron's, when's that book coming out? Is it out already?
It came out on August 18th.
We didn't even talk about that. Well, no. Let's see. Let's check the archive real quick here. Make sure it's in there. I'll bet she did. Okay. Here. Hour three. There's your video. I'm Tucker Carlson. Howard Fox and Friends. Did podcasts on paper, letters, no book. Okay. So we'll get the book up. Yeah, we got to do that. No. Here it is. Undercover Epicenter Nurse that has you in your skull cap and mask. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. All right. Very cool. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and, do another show soonest after. I tell you what, it's when you get me a design, we get it out, we get it to Ireland, we get video and pictures back from Ireland doing that. We'll talk about that in your book.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to brainstorm some slogans for you and send them over. I don't know if you have my I'm sure – did you get my contact information from, was it Deborah or Debbie?
I don't know. Donna has, Judy gave us the contact info.
Or Donna. So. Oh, okay. Yeah, I can, I'll give it to Donna. And then, yeah.
Yeah, just communicate with whoever communicated with you, get that and boom, it transfers. That's what I do. I'm the act, you know, take it, boom, sign. And you go, Aaron, like Hugs Over Mask. When I had him on, I go, I'm going to freaking plagiarize the shit out of that. You know, he's like, peace, man, go ahead. So we did, you know, I do the same thing with you.
Yeah.
Now you get the same logo. I don't care. I'm the IT guy.
Yep. Nope. Take whatever you want. So I just appreciate it. Sounds like you're serious. And that's awesome because we need more people like you because
yeah, it's
kind of
your
die time right now.
Yeah, no, I can't do everything. What I do is this, is highlighting people like you. Because I found out having people like you, which I thought, you know, I am, we do all this kind of stuff. It doesn't have the same amplification. What they were always missing was there's a lot of these people, but they're not being amplified. They're not being recorded. They're not being archived. They're not being, then when they start taking away that archive, I go, fine, then we need a new archive of suck it. So that's what I kind of preempt them about 3 to 5 years. I've been doing this since 88 when I was 28 years old.
Wow.
I'm 59,
yeah.
Born 71, graduate 79 high school. I mean, I've been through my whole adult life has been whatever freaking war. That's one thing. Trump hadn't started a war of all the other shit. I don't got a new war. I was like, damn, you know? So
that's
better not. So this is, I'll let you go, but we can go on for hours, but thank you very much. And I want to help. You'll find me to be a valuable ally. So just keep me informed on what's up and we can do whatever we can to help.
I will. I appreciate it so much. So I will keep in touch and anything that you need that I can help you with, I'll do that too.
Yeah. Boom. Slogan. Artwork. Well, we can finish it up.
Okay.
Just give me a concept and whatever you want to be on European, British Star, Telegram, Guardian front page of something, you know, that's what you get that and boom, that's what happens.
All right. I will. I'll think of something catchy.
All right. Cool. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.